One of the most important tools in a great message in a church is having great sermon illustrations. But not all sermon illustrations are created equal. In fact, today we're going to talk about 5 sermon illustration mistakes that you need to avoid. We hope this conversation helps your church reach more people and grow. This is the Reach Right Podcast. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping pastors and church leaders reach people the right way. Hosted by me, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host, Ian Hyatt. We're here to help your church see more visitors and grow. Welcome to the Reach Right Podcast, episode number 97. I am your host, Thomas Costello, and with me, as always, is my co-host,
Ian Hyatt. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, not much, Ian, man. Excited to talk a little bit today, and we're going to be talking about sermon illustration ideas, and specifically, we'll be talking about mistakes that pastors and people that are preaching in churches that you need to avoid with sermon illustrations. So I think it should be a important conversation to have. You think so?
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah. Important to especially our audience, which is mostly pastors.
Mostly church leaders. I know that I have made probably most of these mistakes. I don't know if I can't think of an example of one or two of them, but we'll get into them a little bit and talk about some of those mistakes. But before we do, I think it's just important. Obviously, anybody that's been in ministry for any kind of length of time, they know that illustrations are one of the keys to successful communication. Like, it's just something that we need to be able to do. Jesus did it. Jesus spoke in parables, which were really illustrations. He was taking a story and using it to make a bigger point. And I would be cautious about calling my things that I say in a sermon, calling them parables. I tell stories in sermons, not necessarily parables, I wouldn't say, but I think we should be using illustrations to try and get these kinds of points, these kinds of stories across.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've used them too whenever I've preached. I haven't preached as much as you, but we've mentioned in the podcast before, you and I pastored together and planted a church together in the Austin, Texas area. I right away. And actually, you kind of helped me because you had far more experience, much more experience than I did. So, and one of the things that you hit home on right away whenever I was preparing to preach and craft my message was to use illustrations. So it's definitely a good thing.
Yeah, we had like that formula that we used, right? Where it was like, you have a point, you have a story, you have a call to action for it, basically. Yeah. So it was everything. I mean, story or illustration.
A story for every point, almost.
So
for sure.
Heavy on the stories. But we do need to give some ideas, I guess, on things that would make for a bad story or a bad illustration or mistakes that people make. So why don't you go ahead and kick us off with the first one? What is the first mistake to avoid?
First one is copying someone else's illustration or story, or also known as borrowing someone else's story. So now, I mean, obviously you want to be original, you know, just like you get in trouble for plagiarizing or, copying, a report in school or whatever. So I think your daughter got in trouble for that or something. So I'm just kidding. But you don't want to do that. And people sense, and I think even more in our day and age where we see effective marketing, right? We talk a lot about church marketing is authentic, right? Same thing with your sermon illustration. People, they sniff out if you are copying someone. If it's not your own story, it's kind of hard to tell it authentically, right? Now, that doesn't mean that you can't, borrow a bit and make that known. I think we know that people have great stories out there. Other pastors have great testimonies, things that they've experienced, and there's nothing wrong with borrowing that, but just making sure you kind of make that clear, to your audience for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's, there's another word for this. I think it's called plagiarism, which is kind of like a more formal, like legal sense. sounding term, and you got to be really careful with this. Like if you're, I think that I've not heard of a situation where there's been a legal consequence for a pastor copying some other illustration or some other story they heard from another pastor, but it's just wrong. It's wrong to do it if you don't cite the source. Now that's the key caveat, is that I think cite that there's not a single person out there that would say, you know, you shouldn't use someone else's stories. If you cite them, if you're willing to cite them, it's totally fine. In fact, I think it's fantastic. So, hey, that reminds me a lot of Pastor Ed who said this, or I was reading from a book by John Maxwell and he said this, or, you know, just kind of getting it out there. I was watching another sermon from Stephen Furtick and he said this.
Right.
That's welcomed. And I think it just it makes you feel more authentic. I found this to be the case too, for this is something that we kind of wrestle with when it comes to social posts. So I know we talk a lot, we have lots of episodes out there about social media strategies and those things. And I was just talking to someone who runs one of the largest Christian meme accounts.
Right.
And he was telling me that like half of his content, he's just taking it from other meme accounts and citing them, making sure that he does a link to them and he cites them properly, and everybody wins. That they're thrilled that you're sharing their content. People are they're seeing that you're linking back to them. So as long as we're citing our sources, I think there's nobody that really objects to that. There's no new idea under the sun. So you're going to borrow, you're going to share, you're going to get your ideas from somewhere. Just make sure you tell people where you get them from.
That's exactly it. That's good stuff.
Yeah. Here's one that I'm guilty of. So the first one was copying or borrowing. Second illustration mistake to avoid is repeating the same sermon illustration. We have this, just stories in general. Like we tend to get these certain stories ingrained in our hearts. Like if you ever came to one of our family gatherings, you have come to them all, because at every single family gathering, we tend to tell the same stories. Oh, do you remember that time that Craig did this and it was so funny? And it was, we told that story 11 times. And so some of the younger people in our big family gatherings, they start to say, they'll kind of start to predict the stories that are going to be told that particular time when we get together. So same thing comes from your sermon illustrations, that if you pastor for any length of time, the longest I've ever been at one church was 7 years. I pastored in one place, but like people get familiar with your stories and you may, like it's true that you have to preach the same topics. Like you can't just preach about forgiveness one time in 7 years and expect that everybody's going to know about it and say, I already talked about that. Why aren't you forgiving people? But when it comes to illustrations, they're just more memorable, right? People are going to remember these stories. And so if you use the same story over and over, it's going to start to feel stale and not quite work the way we want it to.
It's kind of like when my family rolls their eyes every time I tell someone my claim to fame is I played against Drew Brees in high school.
I remember. Football. He touched his shoelaces that one time, right?
Yeah, and so that touched his shoe. I did a little more than that, but yes, he beat us. He smeared us. Okay, that's fine. So it was expected, and since he went pro, it doesn't feel so bad. So anyway, but no, my pastor does this too. It's funny. You know, he's got a great, and again, your testimony, like your personal testimony, is something that you should share, right? It's biblical for us to share that over and over again. But, and my pastor, he has a great story, but he tells it often. So members will obviously be like, okay, here we go again. But you know, he played football for LSU.
I know it.
Big guy, played for LSU, big LSU fan. His father, though, was an NFL coach, so he traveled around. But he tells this story very, very often, and I can almost just, you know, repeat it word for word. But, you know, sometimes it is good to you don't want to do this all the time, but if you know that you have a lot of newer visitors, it's good for them to kind of hear maybe some illustration. But you just got to be careful with it, that you're not redundant.
Maybe pass this episode along to Pastor Joe, and he can see it way. Got to give him some of your feedback that way. See how it goes for you.
That's good stuff. Good stuff. Well, I'll get the next one. That's pacing your story. So I kind of like this, because I think that, you know, pacing is very important to make sure you're not going too fast, that you're not going too slow, so that people, don't miss the details. If you're going too fast, they'll miss the details. But if you're dragging it out, you know, then it gets a little bit boring. So there's a happy medium. I think, you know this, you practice. I know you're a big practicer of your sermons ahead of time. You spend a lot of time doing that. Whenever I've preached, I I've done the same, and I want to memorize it and not have to look at notes as much as possible and all of that too. But I think, you know, the pace is very important, right? And that's, it's important for a pastor to stay on track with time too, to not get too long-winded, right? But same thing for illustration is, for it to be delivered and received the way you want to make sure you have a good steady pace with it. So,
I think so. I'm struggling to think of like which way do most pastors struggle. Like I think that in general, most sermons should be shorter. If I were just to kind of say, by and large, I think people err on the side of going too long, because I have very rarely heard someone complain. I love our pastor. His just sermons are too short. You know, I really wish he would go longer, but I've heard the opposite many times. So, and I, at the same time though, I know my struggle when I'm communicating is communicating at the right pace and not talking too quickly and kind of glossing over things and going fast. So sometimes you just have too much content, but I think that, you're one way, maybe you're too fast, maybe you're too slow, but I think you hit it right, is that practicing is the way around that. We encourage every communicator to practice, time yourself. I did that before every single Sunday morning. Yeah. I would be practicing. I would time myself. I'd know how long each element was.
Yeah.
And it's just a good tool. And you get better over time. You get better at hitting your time markers.
Well, and I think with an illustration too, because it is a story for the most part, it should come off natural. So you should almost be just conversational in tone and not rushed anyway, right? I mean, it's not to say you can't make that mistake, but I think that's one good way to think about it too. So, but
I agree. That's good. So, all right. Next one is, I wish it was obvious, but it's scolding with passive aggressive sermon illustrations.
That's funny.
I don't recall a time where I have done this directly. But I think what some pastors fall into the mistake of is with their sermon illustrations, they know that their church is dealing with some kind of an issue. Maybe there is a forgiveness issue, or there's some kind of, this is famous for like a gossip issue, right? Yeah. So like, if you're using an illustration to like try and talk about things, and if you have, like, sometimes we think that no one's really going to know what I'm talking about when I say this person, and I'll leave their name out. Like I'll do I'll use a different name for the person and make it like a story where I'm not actually citing or using the person's name. But you know what? Like, just understand that usually people are going to figure out who you're talking about. You want to be, I would just put it off limits. Like if I'm currently dealing with a situation in my church, or there's some kind of a problem that's brewing, don't even get close to touching that and bringing it out in a sermon illustration.
Yeah.
You know, you can teach on the topic. I mean, if someone is, you can teach on gossip when your church struggles with gossip, because every church does, or you can teach on forgiveness when people are struggling with forgiveness, but don't use it as an illustration really ever, probably. Can't think of a good reason to do that.
I'm chuckling because you're reminding me of a video that you sent my way a little while back. We won't name the pastor, but this guy called out.
We're going to do it right now. We're going to do an illustration talking about someone that messed up. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
He's calling out a witch a couple of witches in his church and basically kind of called them out. Well, he didn't say their name, but it was pretty funny.
Everybody knew who they were talking about. I think it was pretty obvious if you went to that church.
Doing witchcraft. They were and this was not a huge church, so they were right there in front of him, you know, something like that. So it was pretty funny. I've also been a part of a message one time it was a small gathering of pastors, and the guy speaking basically stopped midway through his message and said, "Oh my gosh, God's telling me that one of you is having an affair, and you better say so." You know, and again, we're not going to dive into you do what the Holy Spirit leads you to do and all of that. But it just reminded me of those funny examples. But it does. It made it strange and took the focus off the message. So, there you go. But good. I'll get the next one. That's using. Don't use a bland or unrelatable illustration. illustration. Let's just, you know, face it. There's kind of boring stories out there in illustrations, right? So you got to think about that. You know, think about your audience, right? Know your audience. I think every pastor should know that. Is this story going to be entertaining, funny? And you know, people are sitting through a whole message, right? So I always love it when humor is thrown into a story, you know, or something that's like, wow, you know, and jaw dropping, because it helps people focus back in on the message too. And so if you're bland, or if it's something that's not relevant to your audience, you know, maybe it's a story that you think is good, but it's not something that would be relevant to most people in your church, then that's something you don't want to do as well.
Preacher, I started preaching in our church when I was 23, 24 years old. I had this thing that I thought I was going to do for my whole life, where in every single sermon, I made it my goal to use a baseball illustration because I'm a big baseball fan. But like, a lot of people don't like baseball. It's come to my attention. A lot of people know nothing about baseball. I think it's a distinctly, I mean, you're almost certainly American or Latin American if you follow baseball, or Japanese, I suppose. But like, on top of that, like, most of the United States can't tell you much about who's winning in baseball, or they don't know a lot about it. So I was doing that, and it came to my attention. I had to kind of, once I started, I was doing it like 10 or 15 messages in a row. I would use always one baseball illustration, but I just realized that it wasn't getting the results that I wanted. And so I quickly abandoned that idea and moved on.
You can always stop and explain what an RBI is.
It might fit into the unrelatable or bland stuff that you were just talking about. True. There. So, but with that, let me give you kind of our winning formula for making sermon illustrations, kind of some things that you kind of pass them through these gates or these checklists. And I think you can have a sermon illustration that will really work. So always start with a hook. That's thing number one. So this can be a question, a stat, something to that effect, but you want to start with something to grab someone's attention. And then here's the mistake a lot of people make, is that the next part is to give some kind of background or context. And the mistake that people make a lot of times is they make the illustration all about the background and the context. And that's what I would have done with the baseball illustration. Yeah. I'd have to spread. Now, for those of you who don't know, an RBI is a run batted in, which means the hitter's at the plate, they hit somebody, and sometimes you can actually get a walk and it'd still be an RBI, and you'd get into all those things, right? So it's totally, it takes too much time and you lose people's attention when you do those things there. So you briefly give the background and the context so that the illustration is going to make sense for everybody. And then here's where you pause a little bit, is you tell the story. And this is step three, is you kind of get into some of the details, use adjectives and language that helps people get there and be in those shoes, talk about the way that you were feeling and how it made other people feel. You get into, so that's where you spend the bulk of your time. Fourth, you draw some kind of a connection for people. So you say, and just like in that story, that's how God feels about you. Or just like we experienced, this is what you'll experience also. So you kind of make the connection for people, and then you end it with some kind of a bang. You end it with some kind of a take home, or if I do this, then I'll get these kinds of results. And then you give people that hope that they need to really make it work. So that's kind of good. What we had come up with. Anything to add to that?
No, I think that's a good segue into the next thing, which is we want to give, with that formula that you just gave, we want to give some illustration ideas. Maybe this is helpful for some pastors that are struggling to find some of these things. But so there's a lot of ideas that you can come up with. So biographies, stories about famous people, celebrities, you know, all that stuff gets people's attention. Maybe politicians, even though I think we want to try not to be as political as possible
with caution.
Church,
but, absolutely.
But business leaders, et cetera. Maybe it's some breakthrough scientific or technological discovery, you know, or something like that. A fact about nature, biology, anatomy. You know, there's so many different things out there that you can think of, you know, and, you know, scene from a book or a movie. That's actually something that I really like is when someone borrows from like a popular movie. Like, what was it? Yesterday was when we're recording this. Yesterday was May the 4th, which everyone jokes about. That's made for those that don't are not nerds in our audience. That's when it's like national celebrate Star Wars Day. So
Star Wars Awareness Day.
Star Wars Awareness Day, but maybe come out use an illustration from Star Wars or something like that. You know, the Sunday of May the 4th.
We'll say that with movies. I like them as long as I've seen the movie, right?
So, right. Like, so it'd be a popular one, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so it has to be. And then even then, you have to realize that half of people still probably haven't seen it. So you may think that, you know, if someone were to do an Avengers analogy or something like that, or talk about, you know, one of those, like a Marvel movie that you know, lots of people see them.
Yeah,
I haven't seen most of them, I guess, and it would be kind of wasted. And so I don't know. I think that there's...
Or if you bring up, you know, Rocky, you know, Rocky is popular of a movie that is the next generation. You know, a lot of them don't know. So you think about that too. If you're an aging pastor, some of those, you know, long time classics, you know, they're classics.
I was just in a small group this week and we were talking about favorite movies and some of those things. And there's this guy who's about to turn 30. So he's not like he's not a kid. He's about to turn 30. Never seen the Godfather movies. It's like the illustrations that, you know, you would be, I mean, also be careful with the content in the movie, because sometimes when people hear a recommendation, they take it or an illustration, they'll take it as a recommendation. Be careful.
Pastor watched that movie?
Exactly. So be cautious with that one there. But any other ideas?
No, I think that's good. Just, you know, you can think of, again, athletes. You can use, you know, those illustrations, you know, common quote, cliches, a lot of stuff.
You know, again, and I think that the best illustrations, in my opinion, are heartfelt stories from your own life in a lot of ways.
That's great.
So, you know, and you know, some of us have more interesting lives than others. I fully acknowledge that. But I think if you can, you just spend the time thinking about it, you have stories, you have lived experiences, and they're impossible for people to discredit because they're what you experienced. And so I think they make it the best ones. I think as a father, I have three kids, and they are constant fodder for sermon illustrations. I had to work out a deal with them at one point, basically. So I would use them so much that they would like me, oh gosh, Dad, you'd use me again. I had to start paying them. So I give my kids $5 an illustration now. Whenever they're in an illustration in a sermon, they make $5 for it. So that kind of buried the hatchet there, and they're happy every time they hear their name mentioned in a message. But those stories from your personal life, I think, are always going to be the most powerful.
Amen. That's good.
Awesome. Good. Well, I hope this has been helpful. I think that if you follow that formula and you avoid some of those mistakes we were talking about there, I think you're well on your way to doing better sermon illustrations and becoming a better preacher. And what this is all about is reaching more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and teaching them to obey everything that he's commanded us. So I hope this has been helpful to that end. If it has, it would mean so much to us if you would rate, review, subscribe, like, do all of those things down below here. That's how we get the word out there about this podcast, and it does mean a lot to us. Thank you guys so much for being a part of our Reach Right family, and we hope to catch you next week. Thanks for listening to the Reach Right podcast. We hope this episode will help you reach people the right way. Looking for more resources for your church? Check us out online at reachrightstudios.com. If this episode has been helpful to you, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.